Oh, what a great song of worship. Thank you, worship team. We're going to go to prayer this morning. I want you to notice Samantha LaRose is on there. She actually broke her leg this past week. So we need to be in prayer for the LaRose family. As well, Pastor Jeremy's off to Baptist Union meetings. And Pastor Christine, she is right now probably walking through the ghettos in the Dominican Republic. So she is experiencing some of that. She's on holidays, but she wanted to experience some of the ghettos there too, to get a better picture of how we live here in North America. So it'd be quite an experience for her, I'm sure. So let's go to prayer. Father God, it's so good to be here and to worship you. And God, as we come together as your people, as your body, as a family, God, we pray for one another. Lord, we pray for Samantha, and Lord, I know she must be feeling some discomfort. And we pray that you would give her, Lord, strength and that you would heal her quickly and be with the LaRose family as they just walk through this difficult time. We think of Nathan and Seaver and Lori and Connie and Megan. God, you know each of those needs. You know each family member. And so, God, we pray that you would that your will would be done in each situation. Father, we think of Mary Warkentine and Annette Kreider, who are unable to attend worship with us. But God, we pray that we would be able to encourage them in some way, even throughout this week, by coming together with them and just encouraging their hearts. Father, we think of those at Weyerhaeuser, and Lord, as each day goes by, we pray that you would give to each employee there wisdom and strength and healing. And God, we pray for each one who's affected. It's troubling, I'm sure, for each family member as well. Lord, we think of the Muhammad family who are planning to come, and I'm sure they're getting excited and looking forward to being in a new place, relieved from each of their burdens. And God, we pray that that you would sort out all the details quickly. And as we look forward to revival, God, that's been on our hearts. We've been praying for that for Prince Albert. And Lord, we pray for the Sotera twins who are coming. And Lord, just open up our hearts even to be revived and renewed and refreshed in you through this time. And God, we look forward to it. We do. And we thank you. We thank you for bringing the Sotera twins here. And Lord, we pray for each of the workers, for Brian Kent and Wolf Gertner. God, we pray that you would just give them wisdom and strength as they plan and prepare for this time. Lord, you are a blessing to us. And we could just cry out to you and thank you for the many blessings. And we just pray that even today that we would continue to walk in obedience to you. That, Lord, we would not waver as your people. We pray for protection upon us. And God, we pray that even right now we take authority in your name over the enemy who would love to just cause dissension right here. God, we want to be obedient. We strive for your excellence. God, we want nothing more than to be your people and to walk in the path you prepared for us. And so, Lord, we just come to you, our Savior and our Lord, Lord of our life and Lord of this church. Lord, thank you that we can worship you together in spirit and in truth. Open your word to us now, God. Permeate our hearts and our minds so that we would love you even more. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, you heard a speaker who spoke very loudly to you. And last week I had strep throat, so you heard Pastor Jeremy speak. And now this week, I just want to warn you, I've been building up for 2 weeks now, and you're going to get everything today. 2 weeks worth. I was thinking about, as I was planning for the new year, for this month, I was thinking about how wonderful it is to embark upon a new year, 2006. And I thought, how wonderful as God's people to look at our mission as a people. And one of the things that even the Baptist Union calls us at first, they say, you're a very missional church, aren't you? You're very missional. And I don't think we can be paid a better compliment than being missional. Amen? I spend time, this is what I spend time doing. If you want to know what I do in my spare time, I spend time watching people. I love going, sitting in malls and just watching people. I do. I love watching how people interact. I love how people get mad at each other. I love that stuff. I really do. I kind of get a kick out of it. I was recently, I was in one of the doctor's offices and in Regina. My mom, over the course of my break a couple weeks ago, my mom ended up actually in the hospital. It was a godsend. She's on oxygen now at home, which is great, and she's doing better. So thank you for your prayers. But I was in a doctor's office, and I was sitting there, and there's a pharmacy right next door, and I saw a young child walking around with her mother, dragging her mother wherever she'd go, up and down the aisles. And I watched this little child say, Mommy, I want to go home. 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 You know, I almost went up to the mother and said, she wants to go home. She, you know, and finally, she said, Mommy, she's pulling, you know, on her jacket. Mommy, I want to go home. And the mother looked down at the little child and she said, dearie, I know. You matter to me and I hear you. As soon as we get medicine to make you better, we're going home. Child, no more. She just, that was it. Stopped. No more questions. And why is it? I looked at that and I thought, that's amazing. Why is it that I questioned what was going on in that scenario? In fact, I thought, you know, Mom, listen up for a change. Come on, your child's talking to you. And then I noticed a very affirming from the mother. You matter to me. I hear you. And as I heard that statement from her, I thought about how God was saying that to me. I mean, my mother was laying in a hospital bed. I lamented what was going to happen. And here God demonstrates in a doctor's office that he cares, because everybody matters to God. The Jew, the Greek, the poor, the rich, the young, the old, everybody. There isn't one person in this room that doesn't matter to God. Everyone here matters to God. You think of this, you matter to God. In fact, I have a little exercise for you. I'm going to stretch your minds. Say this with me. I matter to God. Say it with me. I matter to God. You did that fairly well. Everybody's unique, and every one of us has been created by God to fulfill his purpose while we journey here on this earth. Everybody's life mission is unique. What God has called you to do, what he put you on earth to do, is like no one else can do. And the wonderful part of all this is that only you can fulfill what God has called you to do. Only you can. The moment you become a believer, the moment you step across the line and give your life to Jesus Christ, God has an assignment for you. It's called your mission. And many, many parts of the mission for your life are unique, but there's one part of your mission that we all have in common. That Pastor Jeremy spoke very clearly about this last Sunday. God wants you to tell other people what's happened to you. It's to share your testimony, your lifestyle, your witness, the good news. The Bible says it like this in Acts 20. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. Once I know Jesus Christ, it's part of my life, not all of it, but it's a major part of it, is that I invite people into God's family. That's what I'm created to do. Invite other people into God's family. Now, the way that occurs, the way that happens, is unique to each one of us. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, he said, as the Father sent me, so am I sending you. Isn't that amazing? We are sent. What has he sent us to do? The Bible tells us, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I invite you to turn there to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love this verse. You've heard me talk about this verse. You probably even heard me preach on this verse at times. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Wow. Everybody matters to God. Everybody matters to God. This verse not only tells us what we're supposed to do, it tells us where we're supposed to do it. Everybody matters to God. And that's why God calls me to witness. Everybody matters to God, and that's why God calls me to witness. If you look at this, verse 8a, or verse 8a, if you look here, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses." See, because everybody matters to God, that's why God calls me to witness. See, first, this verse explains that we will be witnesses to Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean, to be a witness? God wants you to be a witness. Anybody here ever watched Judge Judy? Have you ever caught that show? Come on, put your hand, admit it. You watch it, late night TV, yeah? How about the Scott Peterson trial? You know what I'm talking about? How about the O.J. Simpson hearing? You know, the glove? You know, yeah, you can't forget the glove. You know what a witness is? A witness is somebody who shares from personal experience. In fact, Joan and I, we were at our prayer retreat this past week and with the Baptist Union, and we caught a glimpse of Judge Judy one evening. And this young lady, you're going to love this, this young lady was suing her boyfriend for throwing a piece of pizza in her face. I kid you not, this is good television, folks. It's what sells. And the young lady had a friend who stood up and said, "And I was there. I saw it happen." You know. And it ended up this lady got some money for pizza being thrown in her face. I think it was to cover the pizza. I'm not even sure. But that's a witness. I saw this. I heard that. I watched that. Witnessing is simply sharing what God is doing in my life. It's not being a theological expert. "Well, you know, the theological dispensation of the cross was what changed my life." Yeah. It's not being a pastor. It's not being a preacher. It's just sharing what God is doing in my life. In fact, Colossians 3:17 says, "Whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ." Whatever you do or say. God wants you to be a representative of Him, a witness. And some people think, well, yeah, that's what we... preachers do, or pastors, or missionaries. They're supposed to tell other people about Jesus. That's what they're paid to do. I want to tell you, actually, you're more effective, a more effective witness than I am. You're far more effective than I will ever be. Because people expect me to talk about Jesus. They just do. When I talk about Jesus Christ, they kind of like, "Oh, yeah." "Yeah, preacher. There we go. Yeah. Oh, here we go. You're the sales agent, you know. We expect you to talk about God, you know." But on the other hand, when you talk about what God's done in your life, that's credibility. People listen to you more than they will listen to me or anybody else in the staff. You are the authority on your life. Nobody else can share your witness. No one else can. They can try. Can't. Rick Warren. He said this, he said, "God has put people in your life specifically that He expects you to share the good news with." Wow. Why would God do that? Because everybody does matter to God. And in some situations, you are the only Christian some people will ever know. If you don't share your story, the good news, who's going to do it? Am I responsible for that person? No. Is the person five seats down from you responsible? No. You're responsible. God holds you responsible for the people He's put in your life to tell the good news. Family, friends, neighbors, relatives, the people you come in contact with. Yet we'd rather excuse ourselves somehow. We like to do things our own way. It's kind of like this Pickles cartoon. Look at this. "No, look. Grandma's writing in her journal. I don't have the self-discipline to do that, but your grandma's very disciplined woman. Next one. She knows what she wants, and she likes to have things her own way. That's why she writes her journal a week ahead of time. Ow! Likes to have things her own way. And I have to tell you, when I hear the word witness, I get afraid. I do. I get scared. For sure. But I've realized that the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to be afraid of people. But to be wise, to be strong, to love them, to enjoy being with people. If you will just stir up this inner power of the Holy Spirit, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Living Bible paraphrase says this, that the antidote to fear is love. The New International Version says, perfect love casts out all fear. And I think maybe the reason why we find it hard to share the good news is that we just don't love people enough. Do we love people enough to want to see them into heaven? Get this, if you don't share about what God is doing in your life, who will know? It's unheard, and that's a tragedy. If you don't say it, nobody else is going to say it for you. We're to be witnesses. We're to be sharing what God has done in our lives, what's happened to us since we became believers. Excuse me, you're going to have to turn the mic off when I cough because these poor people have to put up with that. One of the things that I loved about Sonny Fung, he's a great, great friend. Haven't heard from him in about 15 years. But one of the great things about Sonny is he loved talking about the good news wherever he went. And Sonny came over one day and he knocked on my door and he said, "How old Devin?" That's how he talked. "How old Devin?" He said, "I got a great idea. God talked to me." I said, "Okay. Let's go to Moose Jaw." So we get in the violin, Joan and I, and we drive into Moose Jaw. And on the way, he tells me this story. He says, "You and Joan, you're going to teach children in Moose Jaw. And I'm going to go share Jesus with young people." And I said, "Okay. Where are we heading?" "I don't know." I said, "What?" "I don't know." He said, "There's many, many, many people. Many people who need us. They need to hear the good news." So we drive in, and we arrive in Moose Jaw, and he goes, "Oh, those apartments look good. Let's stop there." I said, "Okay." So we pull off and we stop and he goes, "Okay, watch, follow me." I said, "Okay." So we go to the first door. He knocks on the door and there's this group of young people. Beer all over the place. I'm serious. Smoke filled the air. It was blue with smoke. It was just... And he goes, "Oh, this is great." I'm standing and I'm shaking. I'm nervous, you know. He goes, "Hi, have I got good news for you." And this young man at the door, he says, "What? What? Tell me." He says, "Yes, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you." And he opens up this little book and he says, "Here, the good news." And he starts talking about it. These guys are riveted. "Here, come on in, come on in." And here we are in the middle of the beer bottles and the party in the kitchen and everything. You know, we're sharing all this and he's going on and on. And young people say, "Hey, we want that. We want that Jesus." You know, one guy at the back said, "Babe, I want that Jesus." You know, and it was just amazing. And then he said, "Hey, any children in the neighborhood?" And he's this young guy, "Oh yeah, we got lots of kids in the neighborhood." He said, "Great, we're going to start teaching kids this stuff." "Really? Yeah, and you can come and I'll teach you." "Oh great, where are we meeting?" "I don't know, but we're going to find a place." And you know what, before we left that neighborhood, I got to tell you this, we had a children's ministry all set up in a home. Didn't know the lady at all. And Sonny had shared the good news with every one of those apartment buildings around that area, actually, all the little condominiums, everything. It was absolutely amazing. He came running over to me because I was spending time talking to this one family about how we were going to do the children's ministry, which I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. But and I was talking to them, and Sonny came running over, and he said, "You won't believe this. You won't believe this." He said, "The door on the security of the apartment next door, it completely opened. I walked right in." He was so excited. He was so excited. Why? Because he's a witness to the good news. He was so excited about it. Why? Because everybody matters to God. And because everybody matters to God, that's why God calls me to witness. And that's why God calls me to love. to love. If you look, a little further here in this verse, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. You will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Where are we to witness? This verse speaks of four places: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in every part of the world. That's a lot of ground to cover. Now, before you go hopping a plane to Bermuda thinking that's where God is calling you, remember when the disciples were hearing these words from Jesus, where were they? In Jerusalem. Now, here's the point to all this. Start where you are. What's your Jerusalem? Maybe your family, which I have to tell you, is likely the hardest ground to talk about spiritual journey. Prepares you for any mission field. I'm going to tell you that. It's your family. And your friends, your co-workers. Remember, everybody matters to God. And he doesn't want to see any perish. And that's your Jerusalem. The people within your realm of influence. You start where you are. You don't have to go somewhere else first. You may get involved in kids club or our children's church ministry or our nursery, or maybe you just need to help out with our reaching out ministry. Maybe you need to help out with Alpha or Lost Angels. Get involved somewhere. Such opportunity to tell others about your spiritual journey, the good news. I found that when we understand that principle, everybody matters to God, we want others to know this, that everybody matters to him. At their kids' club a few months ago, they were doing a lesson on Jesus cares about you, and they had, Joan had, my wife, she had them make up little cards, you know, little cards, but Jesus cares about you, and then inside a verse, and you know, you can give this to somebody you care about, and that kind of thing. And as she said that, she said, Jesus cares about you. Those young kids in our kids' club, they questioned. Huh? Me? Cares about me? About me? Something we take for granted was good news to them. It says to go to Judea. Judea was like a district, an RM. What's our Judea? It could be Prince Albert. It could be Buckland. Is there anybody here in this city that needs to hear the good news, do you think? Yeah. And they continue to hear about FBCPA. I mean, it keeps running through the mind. This city proposal allowed us to publicly proclaim Christ. Even on the radio, a simple question. What's the significance of the Christian tag? And I explained on live radio that the Christian Judea principles of the Bible calls us to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They were called to care for widows and orphans, to set captives free, to minister to the poor and to the oppressed. What an opportunity God's given us. And then this verse continues with Samaria. That's the RM next door. But the Samaritans were culturally, they were ethically different from the disciples. And the point here is that the third place that you go to people is of a different culture, of a different language, of an ethnic group that's different from you. Do you know anybody who speaks a different language than you? Now, parents, I'm not talking about your teen. And teens, I'm not talking about your parents. If you live in Prince Albert, have you taken time to just walk around the city? We have various languages and ethnic diversity, people, right here in our fine city. What an opportunity right here. You don't have to go very far to find a Samaria. It's right next door. This could be another province, like our youth who are journeying to Victoria this year. This is Samaria. But Jerusalem and Judea, they must come first, because this prepares you for Samaria. And then the verse closes with the ends of the world. For hundreds and hundreds of years, Christians couldn't do that, literally, because there wasn't the transportation. In fact, for many years, they didn't even know the world was round. But today, going to the ends of the world, that's a legitimate opportunity that everyone in this room could eventually go on a short-term mission trip. Our goal in this church is that you will in some way be affected by these four places at least once in your life. And this can be in different ways, by actually traveling to spread the gospel, or by sponsoring someone who's traveling, like our youth, or by being involved as a leader, or through our mission budget, or supporting our local ministries, or writing to missionaries, or sending care packages to students. There are many ways we effectively discover these four areas spoken of here in this chapter. Such a necessary part of our reaching. But what's my mission? Because everybody matters to God, I invite others into God's family. What am I supposed to share? Here's your message in two words. Good news. Now, unfortunately, the Christian community gets so caught in the bad news, nitpicking, judging, that we neglect the good news. It's like, I got to tell you a story. On a bombing day in the South Pacific, a Navy ship spied smoke coming from one of the three huts on an island they thought was deserted. And upon arriving at the shore, they were met by a survivor. And the survivor, he said, I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for more than 5 years. Captain of the ship replies, whoa, what happened? We saw three huts when we surveyed the island. The survivor said, I know. I live in one. I go to church in the other. Captain said, I hate to ask, but what about the third hut? Well, that's where I used to go to church. See, we get trapped in the bad news. We get trapped in being critical about the other Christians and even the church, that we neglect our calling to talk about the good news. Because that's the way the enemy works. If I can get them turned on themselves, they'll forget about the good news. That's why we're called to share good news. Mark 16:15 says, proclaim the good news to everyone everywhere. Everyone likes good news. How many of you here like good news? You do. People aren't interested in religion, but they're interested in good news. See, the problem is not that your friends and your coworkers aren't interested. The problem is the Christian community has forgotten how good the good news really is. Because once you've been a Christian for a while, you forget how miserable it was to live without hope. You forget what it was like to worry about when you die, where you were going to go. You forget what it's like to live without purpose, to have guilt, fear, regrets, bitterness, and boredom in your life before Christ brought meaning and purpose and significance. What happens is the longer you're a Christian, the more you tend to take for granted how good the good news really is. God cares about you. He does? What? Really? I remember one Sunday, after the service, as I always do, I did a call and for acceptance and asked for a raise of hands for the Christians. And then I said, and maybe God is leading you today to that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said, maybe you want to ask Jesus in your heart. If you're going to do that today. Take that gift. And I said, just raise your head if you're doing that. And I remember distinctly this lady lifting her head like this, tears falling down her face. And after the service, as I always do, the fellowship time, I thought, okay, I got to go talk to her. That's what she did this morning. So I'm walking up to her, and she's kind of her back's to me, and she's getting herself a cup of coffee, and I'm walking up, and I said, just as I was about to say something, she turns around. She says, Devin. I said, yeah. She said, you do not know what joy filled my heart today. And she wept. And I said, I almost forgot what it was like. Why should we share good news? Why should I care about the people around me to tell them about my spiritual journey, or what God is doing in my life, or what difference God's made in my life? What is my motive? Love. The motive for your mission is love. Love for Jesus and love for other people. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ compels us. It motivates us. Everybody matters to God. I received this email. Look at this. Put this up. Start. Good looks catch the eye, but a good personality catches the heart. You're blessed with both. Isn't that nice? Yeah, I read on. However, don't be flattered. This message was sent to me. I just wanted you to read it. My life was shattered. My world was crushed. No. I love that kind of stuff, by the way. God has never made a person he didn't love. God's made some people I don't care for, or don't really particularly want to be around, but God loves them. The most despicable person that you can imagine, God still loves them. If you're here on this earth, that means God loves you because he made you. That means that we must care because God cares. When you express love for people, it builds a bridge. It opens a door to share the good news. You don't change people by protests. You change them by love, one life at a time. And that's the only way that you can change society. It's one life at a time. We love people out of his love for us. Now, I challenge you to get serious about sharing the good news with the people God has put in your life. Now, is anybody going to heaven because of you? Now, you got to remember, one plants a seed, one waters it, one helps it grow. You know, we're all in this together. But how do I do this? Well, let me share with you. You've got to just show it, and then you've got to share it. Show it and share it. And that's why I embrace the words of St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, because I found that when we demonstrate it, when we show it, people just want to know why we're different. Love compels us to share it. People see the good news within us before they hear it from us. Remember in school there was show and tell? That's what God wants you to do. That's all he asks you to do. He wants you to visualize it with your life, and he wants you to verbalize it with your mouth. But you need to be an example of God's love first. You need to live in a way that demonstrates God's love. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You demonstrate it. You show love. You let it be your witness in that way as well. Now, I want to say that as I look around this room, I see so much love. I would venture to say that FBCPA is good at this. I have seen you throughout these past years demonstrating such love to your Jerusalem, every one of you, and to your Judea, and I've seen you give sacrificially to the ministry. I have seen you give of your time, of your gifts. I've seen adults handing cups of water to a child. I've seen people pray and weep together. I've seen others making coffee and handing out treats after the service. They're so good. And others come in to pray for the staff. Your love is unending. And yet, I've also heard you speak out there of why you love. Because God has first loved us. So please, I don't want you to leave here this morning feeling like, oh, I've failed. I want to assure you as pastor that you're winning. You're winning. In ways you don't even see. God is looking and saying, you're doing great, just keep doing it. God has favored your commitment, your obedience to him. And that's why we carry on with the vision God's placed before us. It's out of our love for him. Your obedience to him is absolutely amazing. What a blessing you are to not only me and to the staff, but to our city. Please be encouraged this morning. As I spent time with other pastors this past week and heard some situations in their own lives and in their own churches. And I was sitting with one group of guys, and somebody asked me, you haven't said anything. Tell us about your ministry and your church. And the guy sitting by me said he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. We see it all over his face. And I thought, okay. And I got strep throat. How am I looking right now? You know? And the other guy who asked me that question, he said, "All right. You love Prince Albert, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I do." I want to close with these words from John Wesley, who said this: "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." You see, all you got to do is the can-can. You got to show it. You got to share it. That's what being a witness who loves for Jesus Christ is all about. Can we do this? Are we doing it? I believe we are. We're going to keep doing it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to ask you this morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, maybe you just want to renew that good news in your life. Where are you? Saw God do something just wonderful and powerful, and you've kind of just forgot about it. You just kind of put it on the back burner, and you kind of thought, "Oh, I forgot that was really tremendous what God did for me." Maybe you forgot what it's like to be without hope. Maybe you forgot what it's like to have that joy again, right there, that new joy. Maybe you forgot what it's like to be excited about sharing the good news. Whatever way that is for you. Remember, we're unique in how we do this. This morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, maybe you want to come to God and say, "God, I want that excitement again. I want that excitement to share the good news. I want to be excited. I just want to be excited the way I was when I first came to you. When you did that wonderful miracle in my life. I want to be excited again." Maybe just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Maybe you're here this morning and you know you want that joy in your life. But you've never come and you've never said. You've heard it. You've heard it many times. Maybe even from your spouse or your kids. You've heard maybe from your friend, a very close friend or a coworker, that you need to come and you need to say, "Lord Jesus, I give you my heart today. I want you in my life. I want to be a Christian." However you want to word it, come to him because he wants you to. If you're coming to him that way with every head bowed, every eyes closed, just lift your head up. Just lift your head and say, "God, I just want you in my heart today. Lord, just come in my heart. Come in my heart and change me. Lord, bless you." Father, we are so grateful that we could just come together today. This is good news, that we can come and freely worship you. And God, we pray that even as we go to the election polls tomorrow, that we would make the choice that you want us to. God, that you put into power the government that you want. God, and may we be accepting and embracing of that, because we know nothing goes unseen from you. God, we take for granted that we can come and we can love one another and we can encourage one another, and often we take that encouragement for granted, God. Help us not to do that anymore. Lord, help us as we walk into the world to be ambassadors, to be representatives of who you are. Lord, that we can show the good news so that we can share the good news. God, thank you for how you're using First here in Prince Albert. Thank you for how we are becoming more and more a lighthouse and more missional. God, we pray that we would never lose sight of you, that we would always be obedient to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Worship team, please.